Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, everybody. I'm Kim Holderness.
And I'm Ben Holderness.
That was super positive.
Yes! How are you? You have stumbled upon the Holderness Family Podcast. It's the feel-good podcast all the people are talking about.
No people are talking about there, it.
We've had some reviews. Oh, and if you guys can leave a review, maybe even a positive one, that would be amazing.
We've had reviews.
Look at this. I just realized that I cut my hand.
What? Okay, what's with the... you okay?
I'm bleeding.
Do you want to take a break?
No, it's okay. I'm trying to look on the bright side. Like in medieval times, this would be a way
to
get rid of disease. Like they would have leeches. Like there would be a bloodletting. So I'm having just a little bloodletting here. We're fine.
He's fine, you guys.
Yeah, it's a paper cut.
But he's man-colding it a little bit, but it's tiny.
No, I'm fine.
Yeah.
I might mention it a few times, but no big deal.
Anyway, this is our very favorite thing to do. This is our podcast. We try to be better humans. We try to learn and interview people and try to be better at marriaging and parenting and, and just doing life. We are definitely passengers on this flight. We are not perfect, but we share what we know.
Yeah. And just for some reference, I feel like we should always timestamp these things, right? Particularly during COVID. And during all of the, you know, Black Lives Matter, social injustice stuff, like things change so quickly from week to week. We're actually recording this on September the 11th. So that has some importance too, because we both kind of woke up and had some memories.
Yeah. And there's no reason for us to like insert anything else and insert ourselves in that, except for our hearts were heavy. And then people out west, I mean, hundreds of thousands of people are evacuating and trying to find safety. And it is just today in particular, I just woke up with my heart was heavy. And yeah. It's hard every single day, am I right, to wake up and just think like, what fresh hell awaits us today? And you open up, I read news online and I watch TV and listen to the radio, and it's just a new exciting landscape.
Well,
which is why I thought it was funny when you pitched this topic for a podcast.
I think it's apropos. It's our topic is staying positive. Now I know. Our country's deeply divided. There's wildfires all over California. Apparently there's
Oregon.
Yeah, there's a huge one in Montana. My buddy Will had to skip town from his house. Let's see. We've got this election that's dividing the country deeply. We still are in the middle of a global pandemic. A lot of people out there are homeschooling their kids or they're online learning at home, and they're learning about, speaking of fresh hell, how that could be difficult as well. We've got teachers who are doing the best they can. Everyone's doing the best they can. Am I missing anything?
Oh, there! I'm sure there's more. Yeah.
There's, 2020 sucks. We've covered that. So I don't know. We didn't bring an expert on because I think I'm a little bit of an aficionado on staying positive.
Yes. I have always said that Penn is my human golden retriever. He's just like really big and messy and hairy, and he's shedding, but generally very, very happy. And my default setting is not that. My default setting is to I have to really actively
work at it.
Yeah, look at the bright side. Is it, but my default, I go dark, and I I deal with anxiety and depression. So I want to look at a situation and think a little doom and gloom. Like when there's a hurricane headed to Florida, and because my family lives in Florida, I will just like soak up that all that anxiety, and I'll walk outside in North Carolina and I'm like, why is the sun shining? Isn't there a hurricane? Like, I take on all those feelings.
You're the big dude in the Green Mile.
I just absorb people's feelings.
I've said this before. That's the character in all of Hollywood that I identify with the most with you. I mean, you look very different from him. But he, I don't know if you guys have watched the movie, but he takes all of everyone else's pain and sucks it out of their body like these little tiny ash
That's
flies.
That's what I'm trying to do.
And then breathes it out and it ultimately kills him.
Cool, cool, cool.
But you're sort of the ultimate empath.
Right. And so it's hard here for everybody. But I think as an empath, it's hard to wake up and be like, we did it, guys. Another day. Let's do it again. So when I'm here as a passenger to just listen to hear your tips for being positive there, Penster.
Well, thank you. Let me start by saying I've never actually thought about this until today. Mm-hmm. It just happens. And so I started thinking about things that I do and things that go on in my head, and I wrote them down for the first time. And when I looked at them, I was like, this could potentially be helpful for someone who doesn't just do this naturally.
Right.
Much like you have to work at this. This would be like you writing down how to pay attention to people.
Or organize something.
How to be organized. How to change any part of a car.
On our to-do list for tomorrow is for you to change light bulbs. I'll go step by step.
I may knock
you.
That out today just to turn you on.
Hot. Yep. I'm an access service type of girl, ladies.
Okay.
Change some light bulbs and it's go time. I'm sorry.
No, you're laughing, but it's true. Okay, anyway. So I wrote this down. How my brain stays positive.
By Penn Holderness, age 10.
Number one. I do not meditate. I probably should, mm-hmm. right?
I meditate.
Yeah. I think in the spirit of meditation, I do one thing. When something good happens, I take a minute and I block out everything else.
Tell me more.
I keep any of the repercussions from bothering me. I stop thinking about whether my back hurts. I stop thinking about any work that I have to do. I stop thinking about any drama that may be happening at school or anything wrong with my kids or my wife or anything. And I just focus on that one good thing.
Give me an example.
Let's start with like something simple. We put this is mainly for us, but we put a video out and it gets 30 million views. I just stop and I think about the pure positivity of what just happened. And I let it kind of wash over me a little bit.
That's very meditative to take that thought and to focus on that thought and to keep that thought. Conversely, what I like to do is to go into the comment section and see all the trolls attacking us. And then I internalize that for a few days. And then I just get really angry at the state of the world and blah, 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 blah.
And I understand that. Like, one of us has to keep it real, right? Mm-hmm. But maybe it might be fun if you tried that.
I'm open to try, but that's one of the reasons I meditate, is to kind of calm my anxious mind and to be able to focus on one thing at a time. And no, I like that. Yeah.
I don't know if that's similar to meditation or if that's just like some sort of hyper focus or whatever it is. So
I think it's a hyper focus on something positive, and it's not like the whole day and you're not sitting there becoming an egomaniac about it. I think that's important to say. Like, you don't say I'm the greatest in the world. It's like, wow, that was a cool thing that happened.
Yeah. It could be something small too. I didn't mean to use a ridiculous example of something that like only happens maybe a couple of times a year for us, but so take your mom, like you bite into a really good peach. Just sit there with that peach for a second.
Yeah,
even maybe 15-20 seconds.
My mouth is watering.
Good God, that's a good peach.
Yeah.
And let your brain, and at some point your brain is going to get to the point, man, how lucky are we that we have peaches.
And who's the first person that said, like, there's something on that tree?
Yeah, it looks kind of like a butt.
I'm going to bite it.
I'm going to try that. We have there's this giant peach on I-95, if you drive down there, that just looks like someone's butt.
Yeah.
It's like on a giant pole. It's like it's got to be either South Carolina or Georgia. It's somewhere in that, like, savanna area, but looks like a big butt on a pole.
Like big what?
Yeah, okay. It's right next to a big Confederate flag. Anyway, maybe that's a mistake. Okay, so maybe they've taken that down. I don't know. We'll have to check
that. Let's work on that, guys. Can we?
But the positive part is the peach. Okay, so can I do my next one?
Yes, please.
Okay, so Kim, I actively seek out laughter. Sometimes when I have to, I force laughter, especially with loved ones.
What do you mean force laughter? First of all, you make me. I'm going to ask you a question, then interrupt you.
Sure,
you
like I'm fine with it. That's what a conversation is. It's a good kinetic interruption.
You make me laugh in very, and it's like a release valve, right? So things are very tense, you make a stupid joke, and it's like, okay, pressure's gone. Not gone, but pressure's released. And we can cut, and I thank you for that. And even if there's sometimes in fights, and sometimes when things are crazy, if we're counseling kids through homework and that gets very stressful, you'll crack a joke, you'll do a silly voice, and that's super duper helpful. But what do you mean forced laugh?
Yeah, I needed to explain that, because it's not that I'm laughing at something that isn't funny, but I've learned that sometimes if something's funny, I could smile and I'm laughing in my head because I think it's really funny. That doesn't do much good to the people around me.
I don't laugh out loud at TV. I very rarely laugh out loud at TV shows.
That's fine.
Or something. But I know when you're describing, I'm like, that was so funny, but I'd never made a noise. So I hear what you're saying.
Well, I just think it elevates, particularly for our kids. Like if your kids say something and it's funny, you have to give them credit by laughing. And if you laugh a little harder than maybe you mean to, I don't consider that lying. Mm-hmm. I consider that just really expressing the fact that you think that something is funny. And it just brings moods up, and it makes people look on the bright side of things.
You're right.
I guess what I'm saying is find laughter, get laughter in your life, engage in activities that might end in laughter as much as you can. And even when that doesn't happen, make sure when you're laughing out loud, because that validates and elevates the mood of the people around you.
And you know that there are those people in your life that just have the best laughs, and you just want to be around those people all the time.
Yeah, my dad.
Oh my gosh.
My entire family, actually.
All your whole family. My Aunt Jeannie, she passed away, but she had like this, I mean, you could hear her laugh from a mile away, and it was like this like loud cackle that went into like a hype. It was amazing. Our son has an amazing laugh. Our daughter, she is the driest. She's the funniest one of us, and she has the best sense of humor, but her delivery is always pretty like spot on dry. But I made her laugh the other day, and it was like I had struggled.
Yeah, she's a tougher sell than Charles.
But when I made her laugh, I was like, oh my gosh, this is the best feeling. I'm going to keep this going. And I kept like going and going, and I kind of beat the dead horse. But it was good. I was trying to help her with her homework. And so she was asking.
So she was laughing at you.
Oh, 100%.
That's for teenagers. That's really
No. Because she was waiting until you got home to help her. I was like, I can help you. Shoot me straight. What you got? And then she started throwing out some like, I don't know. Like, I think it was history. I think it was like Civil War. And I just started making things up. And
it's a great way to.
Yeah, just really. And she knew. Yeah, she knew it was wrong. Anyway. Oh,
that's funny. See, but everyone's mood was elevated there, right? So maybe, you know, it almost like doing the laundry, make sure that's something on your checklist that you do. Jimmy Valvano said that. He was like, you need to laugh, you need to cry, you need to think every day.
I feel like I do those. Yeah.
Jim Valvano was a great basketball coach for North Carolina State University, had cancer, started a great foundation. Sorry, just in case you didn't know that.
Amazing human being.
Okay. You ready for my next one?
Yep.
I am an endorphin junkie.
Yeah.
Endorphins absolutely elevate your mood. How do you get endorphins?
Exercise.
Yep.
Yeah.
There's the other thing you can do.
I do that. I preach. I live by that. Yeah. I daily movement. Not like puke, you know, level workouts every single day, but I move every single day.
I know it sounds kind of basic. I'm going to get a little more specific with that. I think that high intensity helps a lot too. I think if you can go on a walk and you're going to get exercise, great. But if you can push it a little bit, that's where the endorphins come out. Like I do a lot of CrossFit or tennis, and those are things that have these like brief spurts of energy. It doesn't have to be that extreme, but I'm going to read something from WebMD.
Oh, that's right. If it's correct, if you found it on the internet, so go for it.
Don't you feel like WebMD is okay? I'm not prescribing medication here, so. When you exercise, your body releases chemicals called endorphins. These endorphins interact with the receptors in your brain that reduce your perception of pain. Endorphins also trigger a positive feeling in the body, similar to that of morphine.
Okay.
For example, the feeling that follows a run or a workout is often described as euphoric. That feeling, known as a runner's high, can be accompanied by a positive and energizing outlook on life.
Yeah, that's why I, you know, I've used this comparison before, and my cousin actually told it to me, that I am, she and I both are like a NASCAR, those vehicles. Like, I need a pit crew. I need my tires changed. I need like the best gas and oil. I need all of these things to maintain. You are like a 1986 Yugo. You can just like go and be fine. And you don't need all these things.
Right.
But like,
but that's a terrible car.
I'm sorry. You're like a Honda. You're okay, a Honda. Good. You're a Honda. Sorry. Thank you. I don't know anything about cars.
You just compared me to a Yugo.
Well, were they bad? I don't know.
It's okay.
So anyway, but you don't need the up. So I exercise, meditation, those are on my checklist as well. And it's proven, you get a little endorphin hit when you go to social media and there's a comment, a like, or something. And it's like a little bit of like a surge.
Micro endorphin.
Yeah, it's like a little bit of a hit you get when you're scrolling and you see something and you get these dings. And it's those social distractions, I think, complicate it.
Okay.
And as you get into the go to bed thing, I think we just need to, we'll talk about putting the phone down, which I struggle with, but because it's an addiction, like that kind of endorphin hit from the cell phone. And I think nowadays people are home more. I think people are kind of getting back to life, light life. But still, so many people are home still, and your connection with the outside world is in the palm of your hand and your cell phone, and you just keep getting those hits. That I find the days I can put my phone down more, I'm happier.
Can you clarify? So those micro endorphins you're talking about, those are not as healthy as exercise endorphins.
Not for me.
Right.
Not for me. So for some people, it could, they probably use it in a healthy way, the way it was intended, and you check it a couple times a day, maybe in the morning, the evening, whatever, and it's a nice little rush of like, oh, this person commented on my post. For me, I can get down a rabbit hole real quick, and that's not good.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, moving on. I'm so sorry.
No, you're fine. Again, that was, we did an entire podcast on interruptions, and so far yours have been appropriate. Aww. And I've been doing most of the talking, which is weird.
I love it.
So, all right, going to bed. All right, this is just my belief. And look, I wrote these things down this morning, and it's the first time I've thought about it. And it's just habits that I have that I think contribute to just a general positive outlook on life. I think that the last thing that I do personally before I go to bed, it has to be positive. So I don't read heavy books. I don't read Angela's Ashes before I go to bed. If I'm going to read that, maybe I'll read it in the middle of the day so I can have time to process it and I don't have to like close my eyes and feel it. So I read either like an escapist sci-fi, you know, inspirational book where they're assembling the best in their field to save the earth.
Loves a movie where the best in their field has been assembled. Yeah. If you have a movie and you've assembled the best in their field, Penn Holderness will buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Preferably to go into space and stop
to the center of the earth. Yeah.
You're talking about The Core, which is secretly on my top 10 best movies, even though like everyone who was in it admits it was their worst movie they've ever made.
But you love it.
They literally said in that movie, you've all been assembled here because you're the best in your field.
I mean,
they leaned in.
Penn Holder, that was just like, they used a megaphone. They called him into the theater. Yes.
They leaned in. Bunch of Oscar winners in that movie. They're like, what the heck did I do that for? Anyway, so I either read a book like that, watch a movie like that, watch comedy, sports, something that
mindless,
uplifting, inspirational. It doesn't have to be mindless. I think some of these sci-fi books are pretty heavy, and comedy can be heavy too, but it's just, it's for me, okay? It's a positive way to end the day, because I do believe that the time, the unconscious time that you spend from the time you go to sleep to the time you wake up, is something that you can monitor and can be affected by what you're doing right before you go to bed. So if you make it positive and fun, like maybe you do a little something else before you go to bed. Yep.
Like what? I don't know what you're talking about.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that?
Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently, Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Like laundry, if you know our code names. But, you know, those sorts of things will help shepherd you into the next day. It might make you sleep better. As we all know, sleep also helps you have a positive outlook on life. So, all right. Also, do you know what else I do? So the last thing I do, I visualize something before I go to bed. Did you know this?
No, I'm learning so much about you.
I visualize one of two things, either the best thing that happened to me on that day. Mm-hmm. So something funny I said when everybody laughed, or maybe a lot of times if I played tennis that day, like the one good shot I hit where I was like, dang, that was a good shot. Mm-hmm. Because if you play golf or tennis or any sport, you know that there's going to be ups and downs. I visualize the absolute best moment that I had. Mm-hmm. And I examine it from multiple angles, and it usually puts me right to sleep. Mm-hmm. It's the last thing I think of. If nothing good happened to me that day, I visualize, I've done this probably 3,000 times, that I am the starting shooting guard for the North Carolina Tar Heels, and I like let a game play out where I'm doing that.
Do you ever, that's interesting that you do that. That's fascinating. I love that you kind of go through your day. Do you ever, what I like to do is visualize something I want to happen or a feeling I want to have. Mm-hmm. Do you ever do something like future cast in that way?
I'm trying to do that more because I know you like it.
Well, you don't have to like it.
But that's not part of a positive outlook for me. And I'll tell you why. Because I don't know what the future is and I don't know if it's positive. I don't know what's going to happen. And I know that's kind of, you're secreting here. You're using, that's the verb for using the secret. Like,
no, you just a visual, like that helps. It helps calm me. And it's all very subjective. So if we're going through something with our family or the world and I visualize an outcome, it kind of brings me some peace, some warm and fuzzies. And if it's just for that moment, then that's great. If it's something that I can visualize and can bring into, you know, reality, then that's cool too.
I think that's great. And I think if that makes you feel calmer, happier, and more positive on life, you should do that. Mm-hmm. Again, this is 100% subjective. I actually believe in the reverse secret.
Yeah.
We did an entire podcast on this. I have a great time on vacations and doing jobs. And if we have like a big project, when I imagine the worst possible scenario and prepare myself for it and then overachieve.
It is in direct contrast to everything you're saying. You understand that, right?
Well, not really. So, and I thought about this as well. I think that when you're talking about a task at hand, which could be anything from accumulating wealth to accomplishing a project to being a good husband to playing well in a sports tournament, all of these things, your outlook afterward on all of that, I think, is more important than your mindset before. I know there are athletes and people who do these things. They visualize themselves like winning and I visualize myself sucking. I know. I visualize, for me, it's a lot of times it's leisure activities like going on vacation. I visualize the worst possible things happening. Not like death, but like this is going to be really boring. Not the worst possible. I visualize a very mundane, below average performance by me. And then when I overachieve it, I feel great. I'm like, wow, I exceeded expectations. So you're saying that this, I don't think that this flies in the face of all these other things.
Yeah. I mean, if it works for you.
It's kind of, you know what it is? It's kind of like a, things could be worse. I could be blah, 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 blah. And then when it's not, I'm happy about it.
No, I play that game too of, I mean, anytime if we have a bad day, I quickly go to, but you know what? We're safe. We're healthy. We're yeah. You know what I mean? We're fine. It could be worse.
And as an achiever, don't you think I'm fairly successful, like on the scale of human performance?
Yes, so you're very prolific. You're very, you're very focused. Absolutely.
Right. And it's just
so it's not stopped you. You're expecting the worst mindset has not stopped you from performing.
This is all just what goes on in my head. Mm-hmm. And I didn't do, I'm sorry, just so you guys know, Kim's having a really tough time with me wrinkling papers, not knowing that these microphones are unidirectional and no one can hear them.
I totally hear it. I'd hear it.
You can hear it, but no one else can hear it.
I just don't want to hear it.
So that's bothering you. But I this is like one of the few times that I need paper.
I know, but you're waving it around.
Well, I'm about to read something.
Okay.
All right. Are we cool with this?
Yes.
Are you okay? I know that this is a weird direction I'm going in, but I didn't write these things out because I learned them from someone. I'm writing these things down because they actually grew inside of me and became these tools, and I have no control over them. They're just there.
In a way that my brain is wired to do the opposite, your brain is just wired to do this, and this is what you do. I'm fascinated by it.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so here's my last thing that I think helps lead to my positive attitude, and I'm bringing in a little bit of an excerpt from a book that we're writing, or that we've actually finished writing, that Kim, aren't you excited?
You're not
excited.
I am. Okay, so we wrote a book called Everybody Fights. It's going to be available for pre-sale very soon. It's going to be released to the world next March. I think at this point, we wrote the last few chapters in quarantine, and which was a funny little social experiment. But we've been working on this for so long. We've worked so hard and so long, and I've read it. I just turned in the notes to the editor, like the little tiny tweaks. Like
tiny ones.
Like take out this line, put in this line, change this. Like the it should be question mark here instead of a period, like those things. We've read the book. We wrote it, but then we've read it 40 times.
I've read it 3 times all the way through since we finished. And
I've read it like 8 times all the way through.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Well, I just want to make sure it's a lot. Anyway, so I'm really excited for it, but also I'm like, gosh, is this in? Yeah. Sorry.
I know what you're saying. You're saying that, and no, I think people can relate to this. You've gotten so close to a project, you have no idea anymore how to subjectively judge it.
Right.
Right. And it could be wonderful. And we haven't really given it to a lot of people besides your mom.
Yeah.
To read, but she seemed to like it.
Yeah.
But your mom's kind of has to like it.
I know. My
like,
mom
even if it was crap,
it.
She has to like it. She doesn't have a choice.
She shares every single one of our videos. Well, her Facebook friends must be sick of us.
I'm having a tough time not being optimistic about the book just because I learned so much. And I think our relationship is better because of it. And so now you guys have to buy it. And just whether you like it or not, I don't care. Because our marriage is better. You're welcome.
Maybe your marriage will be better too.
All right. So my last thing that I do has nothing to do with the fact that we wrote a book, but it's something that we encounter when we're in a book. And that is, I am fully aware now that it is my responsibility, not just because I'm the golden retriever, but I think it's everyone's responsibility to occasionally check yourself when it comes to your mood, because your mood, whether you know it or not, is contagious.
Yes.
Your mood is contagious, which means if you have a pessimistic outlook on life and you project that outwardly to people around you, it is going to harm their mood.
Well, I always say, like, somebody like Oprah, who said this? You're responsible for the energy you bring into this room. I don't know who said that.
That sounds like an Oprah thing.
Yeah, somebody wise said you are responsible for the energy that you bring into a space.
Yeah.
And so we say that to our kids. I mean, we allow them. We allow them to be grumpy and mean and sad and all those things. But then at a certain point, like, you're responsible for the energy you bring into a space.
Well, instead of quoting Oprah, let's quote us, okay? Let's quote me and you.
Just like Oprah.
Scientists have studied this phenomenon and confirmed that it is true. Our moods are contagious, and in a shock to no one, bad moods are more contagious than good moods.
I feel
it.
Does
that surprise you? And also in the book, we found this research from UCLA that says if something is bugging you, and this is kind of different from the mood being contagious, but you can elevate your mood and get rid of those bad thoughts by actually naming the bad thoughts that you have instead of letting them stew inside of you. right? So if something is really bothering you, say it out loud.
Yeah.
Right? Like there was this study, and I'm going to paraphrase this a ton, but it was a UCLA study, and I'm going to tell you the woman. Her name was Dr. Michelle Kraske, but she made everyone mess with tarantulas. So yes. At this point, you're just like, you're right out.
Yeah.
But it was four groups of people who they took a tarantula and made them like go in and hold the tarantula, and they would have the tarantula like crawling on them. And for, I would imagine for most people, that's an unnerving experience. But she had them behave in four different ways as they were doing it. One of the groups, they said they wanted to talk about how they feel.
Like, I'm terrified. Yes.
I'm terrified of this arachnid. The second group, they were asked to do just like some self-talk diminishing their experience.
Like, oh, it's fine. It's not that scary. I could crush it with my boot. It's fine. Yep. Yeah.
The third group was asked to say something totally unrelated, like a non sequitur.
Like Doritos are better than Cheetos.
Yep. And the fourth group didn't say anything.
Mm-hmm. They're just quiet.
Yeah. So pause for a second. Which group do you think the next time they got back together was the least afraid of the spiders?
Well, I already know because I read the study.
Well, then tell us. Who was it?
The people who named it.
Yes. The people who talked about how they felt.
Yes.
Right?
Oh, sorry. Yes. The people who talked about how they felt. And that's why I always want to talk about my feelings.
Well, that's good, I think.
Yeah, no.
For you.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. I used to not do that. I would be, I'd be super positive guy. And if something was bugging me, I was the fourth group.
You're like, Doritos are amazing.
Yeah. No. The fourth group, I didn't say anything.
Oh.
I would actually occasionally be the third group too.
Yeah.
And for me, it's more of like, I would deflect it with humor.
You're getting better at that.
Well, it's because I learned, I'm like, wait a minute. And a lot of it happened with my parents, and right. Everyone who listens to this podcast knows, like, I just kept burying that under layers and layers of denial that like mm-hmm. my parents were getting sick and they couldn't take care of each other. And my basic nuclear family was like crumbling in front of me and I didn't say anything. Mm-hmm. And we talk about that in the book as well. But talking about how I felt about it ultimately took that thing that was barreling, like that was growing inside of me, and allowed me to have a more positive outlook on life.
I've seen this change in you since you've been able to name emotions, like doing a good, like, I'm sad, I feel this. I've seen the difference in our marriage since that. It is not groundbreaking for a woman to name something and to talk about their feelings.
Right.
So I think that it will be helpful for men to read this and to hear your story about how you use those words. But as a woman, we came out of the womb saying, you know what, I feel just a little bit tired today. So, I mean, we're leaning into some gender stereotypes heavy there, but yeah.
But
I'll just put that out there.
So I just made this list of things that were inherently easy for me, and this last one wasn't.
Right.
It's something that I, in fact, that's why I wrote it down with like research. That's mm-hmm. why someone had to tell me this. You're saying that this is kind of a no-duh for
Well,
you.
No, but exactly. But the other stuff you listed that was inherently easy for you is not for me. Mm-hmm. So in the same way, talking about my feelings, naming my feelings, saying how like, you know, that made me feel X, like that is easy for me. It wasn't for you. So that's where... Yeah,
but then you walk away from it feeling better. Mm-hmm. I have this crazy example I just realized from this week where this affected our kids. Our son, who is this crazy math whiz, he knows everything and he's like so good at just the basic multiplication. There was a concept that he didn't get and he kind of kept it inside for mm-hmm. a while. And then he got his first ever bad grade in mm-hmm. math and it torched him.
Yeah.
Like the noises he was making, I'm so
oh
shouldn't
gosh.
Be laughing. The noises he was making upstairs sounded like he was in a torture dungeon.
He's 10. He's in fifth grade.
Yeah.
We are not, and I told the kids this year, you do your best. I'm not even going to check your grades, but he was kind of self.
I'm going to do an impression of it.
Okay.
Because right, I have to move the microphone away.
Okay. You sound like Chewbacca. Okay. Okay. And by the way, he can retake the test.
I know, but I went upstairs and he was on the floor moaning. And I'm
know,
like, what's
he's
wrong?
Writhing.
He's like, I've been doing math for 3 hours. It had been 15 minutes. But so I sat down with him and I'm like, talk about this. He's like, well, he was so...
He missed a day of
wrenched.
Class. He had a headache and I'm, you know, and I just didn't make him do school that day because he had a headache. So
it all came down to him, instead of doing long division, he just wanted to multiply stuff. So
he missed the long division lesson, so of course he didn't know how to do it.
But when he said it out loud, it took 3 hours for him to say it out loud and stop moaning when he was like, I really don't know how to do this. And I was like, well, here's how you do it. Do you remember how happy he was after that? Like, his mood completely switched from this, like, not wanting to talk about it or address it. He was like stonewalling himself to actually getting it out in the open. Our 10-year-old, his it was like a light switch. It went back on and he was like super jolly the rest of the day.
Yeah. And he felt really disappointed. He used all the good words. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, you've raised a good kid, honey.
You were there too?
Yeah.
Yes.
It was mostly the golden retriever. You're the one who you really are. I want to give you credit. You're the one who told our kids to name the spider.
Yeah.
And to face the spider and talk about how you feel in front of the spider rather than deflecting it with a joke. So that's important too.
The jokes are helpful.
They are. We covered that in the first part. Yes. So anyway, so this is our next book. It's just going to be a picture of my brain.
Oh, the one
and a cartoon.
Okay. The following book. Not. I was like, gosh, we haven't even gotten this first.
No, this is our next book.
Yeah, okay.
It's going to be the pen-centric universe, the world.
Because the world needs that.
The world of cartoons and happiness.
I know. I want to look inside your brain. Is it just like cartoon characters and...
It's not. Like, I feel things like you do, but I also, I really do think I've... Part of it is the way that I was born and raised, but I think that I'm wired to really soak in and enjoy all of the wonderful things that are going on in the world around us. And maybe that's hard for people to do right now, particularly because there's murder hornets and flying snakes and meth gators.
And meth gators.
Meth gators, in case you don't know. There's a lot of meth in the South. You're welcome. And they flush their meth down the toilets and the materials for the meth. And meth gets into the sewers and the alligators drink the water and they get all methed out. So that's a thing.
You are wired a special sort of way, and I'm glad you picked me because
I picked you. Like, without you, I would basically be hallucinating. So it's good to have like something to keep me grounded, like that last thing we talked about. Because if I'm 100% this guy, there's denial, right? And we learned about that. So thank you for helping me face my demons.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
I love you.
I love you.
You know
too.
What? This was one of our best podcasts ever.
You think?
Yeah.
Cool.
Why not?
Are you secreting all over that?
I am. That's not very like me. I enjoy this. I like it when it's just you and me. It's because I can talk more.
I love it.
No, it's actually better when we have people who know what they're talking about.
Well, thank you for listening. I'd love it if you shared like a screenshot on Insta stories. They see them all, tag us, and I'll reply.
And if Facebook took you here, a lot of times, or Instagram took you here, go back to the comments section of that particular post and tell us like what sorts of things do you do to stay positive?
I'd love to hear. I'm always looking, you know, I'm a self-help junkie, so I'm always looking for ways to stay happy.
Yeah.
But thanks for listening. I hope by the time you listen to this, the world will not have totally fallen apart.
It's going to be Tuesday, so I'm not sure how much can change in 4 days, but it would be nice.
Holderness, it's 2020. A whole lot can change in 4 days. Love you.
Love you, babe.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack
for free shipping and 365-day returns.